So we've done our sampling either in the air, the liquid, or the solid state. Next thing's analyses. So this is sort of an introductory flick through the sort of analyses that we're going to look at, and then after that we're going to burrow into the details. So for air then, some examples of analytes and the sort of instruments we might use. So for ozone, NOx, SO2 and carbon monoxide, our typical smog chemicals, we're going to use spectrophotometry. For chlorine, which we now know is going to be added to our water supply, we would use an electrochemical sensor to determine the concentration that's present. And obviously the same electrochemical sensor would work in the air as much as it would work in water. For water, we've already used a pH sensor. We're going to use a DO sensor then next week with our multi-probe. Again, working on electrochemical principles, but the DO and the pH work on quite a different electrochemical concept. For conductivity, we remember that we're using that little conductivity cell. For the soil, when we're collecting our samples, we must make sure that we note the particular horizon where we're collecting our sample from, and then we carry out our pH measurement. How do we measure the pH of our soil sample? Yeah? Yeah, but what's the nature of that paste? You've got to make sure that if you're doing a soil from the arid zone in the centre of Australia, it's the same as the soil from the coastal regime. Even if it's got exactly the same clays, etc. present. How do you ensure that? 1 to 5 paste of 0.01 molar calcium chloride to ensure that the electrolyte evens out the conductivity between the two soil samples and you get a representative pH. So those sort of little things like that will give you brownie marks when you're getting into your final exam type thing, because this stuff is coming at you in your final exam where I'll be giving you a question where I tell you the analyte, I tell you what the site is, and you've then got to come up with how you would sample, how you would analyse on that particular stuff. So you have to have a real feeling for how these things work. So those are field measurements that we'd carry out. In terms of samples that we're going to analyse back in the lab, because these are using our real-time sensors in the case of the spectrophotometry, those sort of instruments that we showed you before, the UV1, we'll do the SO2, the hydrogen sulfide, the chlorine electrochemical sensors, these are just little handheld machines. So for analysing samples back in the lab then, if we're collecting samples into 10X resin, then those sorbent beds are going to have to be desorbed back in the lab. If we're collecting water samples, then the transit from the field to the lab is quite important. So typically, you'll be putting these things either into an esky and keeping them cold, or quite often freezing them straight up. You must make sure that the characteristics of the analyte allow you to select the correct sample container. So we can use polyethylene bottles or polyethylene terephthalate bottles for metals, but we can't use them for organics, such as herbicides, insecticides. Glass is quite a good one to use for metals if you treat it with acid. So you've got to make sure you preserve it in the correct fashion to get it back to the lab. And for soil samples as well, typically these guys will be frozen before they get back to the lab.